Okay. I really, as I see it here tonight, Romans 6 is really the heart of the gospel. This is the truth here. It's in this chapter that most miss. And there's some very, very, very critical things here tonight that can pass us by very, very easily if we don't carefully look at it. So let's look at it here tonight, and let's ask God to open our eyes. And I'm not going to try to push anything anybody's down any throat, you know. Here's the scripture. We can read it. But we need to read it for what it says, not for what we think it says. So let's really ask the Lord to show us here tonight. Okay. Just backing up to Romans 5 for just a moment, just notice where Paul ended when we stopped last week. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, as he's leading up to this and he's laying the foundation all along the way, then is sin gonna reign? Is sin gonna be overcome? He says, no. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Sin reigned in death, grace reigns in life. And I think that is, in one sense, the gospel right there. So someone would say, well, then shall we continue in sin? You know, all we got to do is just continue in sin and grace will cover it. And that's the way many think about it. They just think, well, continue to sin, the grace of God covers it. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So here's the first key question. Okay? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How do we die to sin? What is your understanding of that? How do we die to sin? You're welcome to draw upon the rest of the chapter or from other verses or what you're understanding, but this is the place, this is our launching point here tonight. How do we die to sin? Anybody want to be brave and jump in? I just care about you. That's a good statement. Couple it down with, you can look at verse 7 along with this if you want to. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Notice the tense. He who has died has been freed from sin.
I think it's only as you start a new life that you die to the old life. There's not like this in-between stage where you're dead to sin. Okay, now what's going on? And wait, and then you're alive to God. Okay. You're only dead to sin as you die to your old life and then start a new life.
Okay, so how do we die to our old life?
Crucified with Christ.
Okay, and how are we crucified with Christ?
Old things are passed away.
But how are we?
Well, the statements are good, but they don't quite take us all the way, I don't think, yet. Okay, how do we die to sin? Anyone else want to venture out?
Does that have to do with baptism?
Pardon?
Does that have to do with baptism?
Okay, in what way? And on what basis?
I forget what the scripture is, but it says something about being baptized into new life. It's not in Romans 6.
Oh, okay, well, that, I don't know which one you're referring to, but we've got one here. Okay, let's read in verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay, so couple that with verse 2 now. Based on that, how do we die to sin? Or are those connected?
Come to a place where we're in Christ. It's kind of like your illustration of eternal security. You're secure as long as you're in Christ, but you're outside of Christ.
Okay. Anybody else go any further? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
I like how you let people just sit in it for a while. You know, I was just laughing.
I really got to let this sink in here because this is not kid stuff tonight. This is at the very heart of the gospel. What does it mean to be baptized into his death? What does that mean to you?
To die with him.
Okay, how do we die with him?
Put our life to death.
How do we do that?
Put away our agenda that does not fit in with God's principles and lifestyle that he expects that his children live in.
So how would you differentiate that, Danny, between somebody just trying to change their life and do what they know to do versus knowing the grace of God? How would you draw a distinction from that? In other words, a person just says, well, I know I need to change. I need to stop lying. I need to stop this. And then, you know, I need to straighten my life up and, you know, I'm going to do it. Okay? So tell me what God wants and I'll do it. Okay? I'm going to put my old life to death. Is that...
At least how I see it, to answer the question, how do we put our life to death so we can be baptized in his death, is that we have to recognize and see that our righteousness, even if we try to be good and all that stuff, is not what God wants. It's filthy.
Okay.
So to just stop trying, I think it's somewhere... Scripture, it says our work is to believe. It's not
right
to try.
Okay. Rich statements.
Repent and believe the gospel.
All right.
Is that it?
Can you expand a little more? Well, go ahead and expand what you're saying.
Repent and believe the gospel.
So what is the gospel then?
The gospel is that Jesus Christ can set you free from sin. That he died on the cross. That we would not perish, right? We know the verse.
Right.
And by believing in him, it's an active belief that changes our life in him. And then he sends the Holy Spirit. By dying with him, you know, that was the symbolism of a baptism. That you're turning away from your old life. That may be well before you receive the Holy Spirit. But you're turning away from your old life. Belief in Christ.
Okay.
Amen.
There is a renewing of your mind and your heart. There's a heart change, and like you don't anymore. You repent. You don't want. You die to self and your old ways and what you want, and you just let God, you know, take reign. And you, all of a sudden, it's like I said, renewing your mind. Like you want what God wants for your life and your heart.
Is it a submitting of the will and asking God for His Holy Spirit to walk in His ways.
I like Galatians 5:24. It says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So to me, that's just basically determining that you're not going to be, it's not just a mind thing, but you've turned from that. So you've turned from the way of just doing what feels good or doing whatever you want to do and turning to God. And it's a divine transaction. You know, I don't know if we can define what God does in the heart, but when God, when you turn to Him, He washes you, He cleanses you, and people know when it's happened, they feel His work in them. They know somehow that in their spirit, the Lord has cleansed them. And it's just turning from the way that you were going and your own will and your own desires and turning toward Him.
These are good, they're all good thoughts, but how do you know that you've been crucified with Christ? What does that scripture say? Read it again. Those who are Christ, what?
Have crucified the flesh with its passions.
How do you crucify your flesh?
By the Spirit.
I don't know that you can get a formula for nails to put in, right. But
I think of what Jesus said, you know, if your eye causes you sin, gouge it out, if your hand causes you sin, cut it off. Just cutting off the things that cause you to sin, crucifying those things and not going back to those things that cause you to sin or influence you to sin.
Okay, let's keep going here, okay? Let's try verse 4 to it. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. What does that mean to you?
I think it means that we also have to die to our own will as the Lord did, because he had to submit His will to God when He was crucified and when He went to the cross, and I think it's the same exact thing, but it's a supernatural happening and you can't necessarily describe it. But I heard someone make an analogy of like going through like a heart transplant. Instead of saying, okay, God, like, here's my will, take all my will, you know, all my desires, all this, all that, and do what you want with it, they said instead it should be your own will should be removed, taken out, and the Lord's will implanted inside of you so that you may perform what His will is.
All right.
But it's like a heart
thing. That's a good thought, but it's a side thought where we're on here at the moment, Heather, but how is that going to take place? In other words, that's a good thought, and I agree that Peter says that we may be partakers of the divine nature, but what's going to cause that? How am I going to get that?
Through faith.
Faith is the way into it, but what does faith lead me into?
It's a gift.
Pardon?
It's a gift.
I agree.
God's going to give it to you.
All right.
Ask me.
Okay. Just keep going here. What do you think this baptism is referring to right now? He says, you were buried with Him. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. What is that baptism?
Depends on what denomination.
Well, we're not from any tonight, so we're before the Lord, and we've got a mind, and we're looking to the Lord. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you tonight? What is this baptism? Why do you say that?
That's the only way you can walk in the newness of life. Going under the water doesn't make you able to walk in the newness of life.
Suppose somebody challenges you on that, what would you say?
Show me the fruits.
fruit inspection.
So you say that's the baptism of the Spirit. Okay. Anybody else? What do you say this baptism is?
Can I clearly that? That was obvious. All
right. Anybody else want to cast their vote?
Huh? I mean, what else could it be if it's not this baptism?
Well, I can tell it's right because you didn't argue. But it's...
The baptism is... I don't see that necessarily baptism into death. The Spirit brings life.
Yes. Yeah, but I agree. But he says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Okay?
The only way you can live a different life is if the old life dies.
So how does the old life die?
When you start the new life. By the Holy Spirit. That's what I was saying before.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if...
You've got to say it in different, say it in different words because it's not clear yet.
In other words, say you believe in reincarnation or something like that. You can't start in your next life until the other one's gone.
Okay, I agree with that.
You can't live two lives.
So how does that life get gone?
By the taking over of the new life.
Yeah, but that's the other side, okay? But
like,
what's about
like,
the death?
Kind of like light and darkness.
Okay.
Light is what drives darkness out. You don't pull all the darkness out and then put the light in.
Okay, I agree with that, but you're still concentrating on the life side, and I'm still on the death side. It says, well, we've got to get dead before we can get alive. And it says, certainly, how shall we know that he who died to sin live any longer in it? So how are we going to get dead?
So realizing it's to believe and understand that you are a sinner.
Definitely. We're not there yet. We haven't got to verse 11 yet. We can't reckon until we know what we're reckoning. Okay.
Partake in the death and resurrection of God.
How do we do that?
By suffering.
What does the scripture say that we do that by, Heather? Verse 2 and 3, how do we do that?
Turn from sin.
Well, I agree that repentance is there, but this doesn't say anything about repentance yet. I mean, I agree that we need to repent, but it says... Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay, so my question is, how do we do that?
How do we get baptized into his death?
Yeah.
Is it not submitting your will to God, your complete will, your whole...
Well, I agree that that's included in it. But I mean, I agree that these thoughts are in it, but I don't think any of you have clearly said yet.
We can give up.
No, we're not giving up. We can read.
We're not going to give up.
We can read here. Go back, okay? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? It says we who died to it. Okay? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Are those two verses together? Is that the same thought?
Yes.
Okay. Now, they're the same thought. What is the baptism? It says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus. What is... How are we baptized into Christ Jesus?
By the Spirit.
Okay. I agree with that. But look at some other... let's not go there right now. Okay. So, that's where we were a few minutes ago. I said, is baptized by the Spirit, right? Anybody want to add to that?
I don't think I have the answer, but what is that verse... Says you reckon yourselves dead.
We're coming to it.
We're not allowed to talk
about that because we don't know if we're dead yet or not.
No,
Well, maybe that's how you die.
We're still trying to figure out how we get at death. How are we going to reckon we're dead if we don't know how we're dead?
Maybe it's just to... for God to reveal that we are dead.
Okay. That's definitely part of it. I would agree.
There's a daily dying, too. I die daily.
Lay that one aside for the moment, because Paul said... I die daily, but I do not believe hither that he was referring to this. He was referring, if we looked at that scripture, he was referring to the persecutions that were coming upon him every day that he got up. He didn't know if a sword was going to come to his heart or not. In other words, he wasn't just kind of coming to a nice Bible study on Friday night. The Pharisees were lying in wait to kill him every day. And he says, you know, I'm among beasts, I'm among bees. He says, I die daily.
The grief that he went through also.
Right. I don't think he was referring to this, okay? And I'm taking a lot of time on this because I'll guarantee you 99.99% of Christendom has missed this. And what we're talking about right here is the heart of the gospel. Because people are trying to crucify themselves and you can't. People are trying to put their fleshly death, life to death, and you can't. Okay? When we're coming on here, it says Christ died to sin once for all. He's the only one that was crucified. He's the only one that died. Okay? Now, we go on here. I hope you're thinking with me. Okay, let's read. We may have to read this about 15 more times. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We were buried with him through baptism into death. Think about it. We were baptized into his death. And even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, notice that. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, okay, now here's something we need to know. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, next question. What is this old man? And we're going to have to look at some other scriptures to do it. Okay? Somebody read Ephesians 4:22 for me.
For what?
Ephesians 4:22.
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Okay. Notice this. He says that you put off the old man. Okay. Somebody else read for me Colossians 3:9.
Since you have put off the old man with his deeds.
Oh, wait. Read that again.
Do not lie to one another since you have put off...
Since you have put off...
The old man with
his deeds. The old man with his deeds. Notice the tense. You have done this. All right? Okay. Kinsley, if you would read Ephesians 2:15... George, if you would read Ephesians 4:24, and Danny, if you would read Colossians 3:10.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
Okay, did everybody get that? Read it one more time, Kinsley. Listen to it carefully. Listen carefully now.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself
one new man
from the two, thus making peace.
Okay. Ephesians 4:24.
And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God the true righteousness and holiness.
That you put on the new man, what?
Which was created.
Which was created. What? What was
To God.
Okay. Colossians 3:10.
And have put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Okay, now, if I had 3 more hours here tonight, I would query you in a circle for drive you crazy, getting you to think about it. But since we don't have the time, I'm just going to have to give you these thoughts, and you're going to have to go back and try them by the scripture. Okay? Paul's expression, and I don't think you'll find this any other place, this is a Paulism. It was a term that he used, old man and new man. Paul's use of the term old man and new man does not refer to you. He's not talking about something in you. He's talking about the human race. And if you go back into Romans chapter 5, you'll see. He says, here was Adam, and the whole race that descended from Adam. In Paul's definition, that's the old man. That's the old man that came from Adam. Okay? Then we've got Christ over here, and he is the head now of the new man. So we have all those that descended from Adam are in the old man. All right? And all those that are descended from Christ are in the new man. The old man is corrupt and full of sin and so on. The new man is created in righteousness because it's created in God. So we have two classes of people. We have the old man and we have the new man. And tonight we're in one or the other. There's no in between. We're either in the old man or in the new man. But the old man is not in me, or the new man in me. And this is where most people think about, well, I got this old man or new man in me. No, it's me in the old man, or me in the new man. And your translation, and many of them do there, Jessica, they take that man in an attempt to try to help us out. They translate it into self, or something like that. They say the new self or the new, what did yours say?
Yeah, self.
It says new self.
It also says new nature.
New nature, and they use nature and old nature and so on. But I believe it's backwards, okay? Because that leads us down another path. It leads me thinking, well, let's see, do I have this old man in me and I have this new man in me, and they're kind of got a war going on down here, and I hope the new man wins. But, you know, the old man is there and I got to put him to death every day. It leads us down this thinking, and it leads us into this idea, Heather, of that I've got to die daily to the old man, and I've just got to let this new man win in me. You know, I've got to walk in Christ, and I've got to walk in faith, and I've got to put this old man to death. And so we're constantly in there trying to put the old man to death, but there isn't any old man to put to death. And so therefore, we're not getting anywhere because we're trying to do something that we can't do. First of all, there's not an old man in there to put to death. And secondly, if there was, you can't do it because someone has jokingly said, listen, you know, you can't crucify yourself. You might be able to drive 2 nails in your feet, and you might even get 1 nail in this hand, but who's going to nail this hand? Okay? And it's just a joke to say that we cannot crucify the flesh. We cannot put the old man to death. We cannot rescue ourselves from sin. Okay? So, you know, as I said, I could have driven you crazy here for an hour here tonight. But I've just got to present that to you, and we'll pick it back up maybe again and talk about it. But you've got to take that idea back and try it by the scripture. Take those scriptures, if you didn't write them down, or you can do a search. Just search on old man and new man and go back and look. And they're the only places in scripture that you'll find them. But read them all together. Look at them all together and see what Paul is saying. Okay? That's his term for describing the human race from Adam and the human race from Christ. Okay? Anybody got any questions on that?
Okay. So are you saying like it's like a literal descendants from Christ, or like an actual like experience where you're born into Christ?
Go back to chapter 5. Okay? But the free gift is not like the offense. I'm reading from verse 15. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, okay? Right? So that's real. The one man's offense, Adam, okay, reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay.
Verse 17 in chapter 5. Right? And then he goes on. He says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. In other words, he says it about three or four different ways there, trying to lead up to this. Okay? So you think of Adam, and here's all extended for Adam. We were all born in Adam. Now here's Christ. He is the head of a new creation. All those who are born and in him now are the head of a new man who is created in righteousness and holiness of God. Okay? Any other questions there before we go on? Okay. Yes.
How many of you read Oswald Chambers 2 days ago? He talks about how he went back to, but this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. How everybody is in the old man, but everybody has not done the original sin. But the reason that they're there is because they have not seen the light and come to the light. They've seen the light, but they've rejected it. So that leaves them in the old man. Mm-hmm. And that okay. kind of really opened that up. Go back and read my own
book. Okay, that's good. Okay, let's keep going. Okay. Now, so he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now, what does that mean to you? Knowing that the old man, our old man was crucified with him. Put that in different words for me.
What about it still talks about the flesh, which we'll get into, I guess, in Romans chapter 8, but I guess the way I've kind of seen it is that the flesh talks about the flesh. You don't always do the things you want to do. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, which, for example, your flesh might say, I want more apple pie. Which your spirit says, or your mind say, no, I can't eat too much of that. So all of our desires are not gone just because we're born in Christ. The flesh is there, and you don't always follow everything that it wants to do. So the way I see it is still of the... it says, put to death the deeds of the body. The body... would I think the body and the flesh could be also together. So we see Christ also as he's put to death the deeds of the body. He's going on, he's saying don't submit to that, but grow up into righteousness in Christ.
I agree. agree, Mark, that we need to look at those things, but I think that that particular part of it is a little bit beyond where we are right now, and we need to see more of this foundation here before we go in, because we need to get there, and we're going to get to Romans 8, and we're going to get to Romans 7, but Romans 6 has got to come first, because we cannot reckon something to be true unless we know what we're reckoning to be true. And we've got to see here, I believe, more deeply into what he's saying here in order to deal properly with the questions. And I'm not trying to say we don't deal with them. I'm just saying I don't think we're quite ready to deal with them yet tonight. So if you could kind of just hold that discussion for a little bit later. Okay? Just coming back to this again. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So now what does that statement mean? Put it in different words. Dan, you were going to say?
Yeah,
you can.
I think I'm more confused.
No. Somebody stay. Put it in different words. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him.
Okay, so the old man is Adam.
The old man is Adam and all of the race that descended from Adam.
So then, I was going to say, was Adam crucified in Christ? But that's not right, because no. Christ is not a descendant of Adam.
Right? I'll agree with that. Just stay in the simplicity of it. Knowing this, that our old man, that's body of sin.
Why does it say our old man instead of the old man? Because that's what partly makes it confusing.
Well, because it was. It was our old man. It was my old man. It was your old man.
You're my old man.
Right? Or that's where I was.
Back inside of me again.
Huh? No, in other words, that was my race.
Okay.
It's not inside of me, but that was my race, my family, my heritage, my nation, my old man. Okay?
Okay, I'm working on it.
My old man, what I was a part of, was crucified, he says, with Christ.
It was done through Christ's work. I mean,
that's right.
He took our sin on himself.
That's right. He took upon himself, okay?
It was something that only he could do as God.
Exactly. Now, it says, my old man, or our old man, the human race that we are a part of, it says, was crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be done away with. Okay, so what is the body of sin?
The will to sin.
No, don't jump to that too fast. I mean, get in mind the old man, and then he doesn't change here. That the body of sin, what was the body of sin?
Are you reading 6? Because this one, I don't know if this shows any insight, but this says, I'll leave aside the first part because he didn't translate it right, but the tyranny of sin over us might be broken.
I mean, that's true, but that's not what this says. The body of sin, just stay for what it is. Here was this old man. Okay, here's Adam. Okay, what was underneath him? What was underneath Adam?
Old man.
And what was the old man? A body. Right? A body of sin. That this body of sin might be done away with.
All the collection
of everybody that descended from Adam, that this whole body of sin might be done away with.
Okay?
He died for the whole mankind, that the whole body of sin might be done away with, right? We're not talking about us yet. He died that this body of sin might be done away with. Okay?
Just like we have the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We have the body.
Exactly.
Of...
Exactly.
Oh.
Got it.
We have a new nature.
You got a new man and an old man. You got a body of Christ, you got a body of sin. Okay? He died that our old man, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin.
Past tense.
Okay, now let's go back up. Let me read back again, back verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay? So, I'm gonna have to lead you on here a little bit. Okay? Here's Christ. He took upon himself the whole body of sin. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Right? He took upon him that burden. All right? Everybody, the whole world, he took it upon him himself. All right? And what did he do? He died. It says that he died to sin once for all. So he took everybody, and I'm going to add in a word here, potentially, to death. Maybe other words we could use, but I've got to use it to keep us going here. Now, then what did he do? He rose from the dead, right? He went down, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended. Okay? Now, he says, do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That just as Christ, then it goes on and talk about race. So, here's Christ. He didn't ask you and me about it, right? That was 2,000 years ago. He did it. It was God's doing. But he says, now, if you are baptized into Christ, then everything that Christ did, you did. Or everything that was his, you. He died to sin, you died to sin. He rose, you rose. In him. Okay? So, Christ did it and opened the door, if you will, legally or potentially or judicially or whatever word you want to do there. He took the whole human race, if you will, into death. Now, is it real to you or me? Only if you are baptized into Christ Jesus. Because you must be in Christ Jesus before this is effectual or real in you. Okay? Knowing this now, going back to verse 6, that our old man was crucified. You got to know that. That old man was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be done away with. The whole human race of sin might be removed. Okay? That we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If we died with Christ. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Okay? For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Okay, that was Christ. He says, now he's our Savior. He's the author of our salvation. Okay, now we get to this verse that you keep wanting to quote for me. Likewise, you also. Likewise, based on everything that he said here, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I'll read that one more time. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Reckon it. Okay? It's true. But alive to God, it's true. Where? In Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ Jesus?
Baptism.
Okay? And what is that baptism? I agree. So now tell me again what that baptism is.
Believing.
All right. Well, you're telling me how to get into it, but what is it?
What is it? It's being transferred. What is it exactly? It's being taken from the old man into the new man.
Exactly. All right. It's being taken from the old man into the new man by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
Okay. And you're starting to tell me how it comes. You know, she says right, by faith right. and
by
so
faith
on.
And whatever. Right?
But okay, let me give you some verses here and see if I can stump you. Okay. Somebody read for me. Let's just pick it on. Cindy, read for me Galatians 3:27. Diane or Mark, read 1 Corinthians 12:13. Diane, Acts 11:16, and Jessica, Acts 1:5. Okay, listen to each one of these. Okay, Galatians 3:27.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Okay. Question before we go on. What is that baptism? As many of us have been what? Baptized into Christ.
Have put on Christ.
Okay, what is that baptism?
Baptism of the Spirit.
Okay. Next one, 1 Corinthians 12:13.
For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
Okay, what is that baptism?
Same.
Okay. Acts 11:16.
There came into my mind the words of our Lord when he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Is that the same as the other two verses we just read? I don't want to put any words in your mouth now. What do y'all say? Is that the same baptism? Okay, Acts 1:5.
For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Now I'm going to read you one. I'm going to read this one. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Okay? There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? First question, what is an antitype?
The opposite.
Okay. That's a good way to put it anyway. It's the opposite, okay? There is an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Okay? What baptism is this? Dissect this one if you can, this verse.
The first one is the baptism of water he's talking about, but he's saying that's not what that saves us. He's saying that's not what saves us. What saves us is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay, you all agree with that?
No.
Okay, why don't you agree with it?
Good.
Right. Well, it says, all right. Sorry.
Right.
All right. Okay, there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. And he says, it's not the physical washing of the water, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Which, to me, I would see that as obedience. In other words, we're commanded to be baptized in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. And you're doing that not to take a bath, but you're doing that as a response of the step of faith, the answer of a good conscience toward God. I'm not against the baptism of the Spirit, but I don't see that.
Okay, yeah. I understand. Okay, yeah. What is the type? If there is an antitype, then what is the type? What's he using here? What's the type and what's the antitype?
I don't...
Is
baptism of type?
Well, look at the verse before it. There's the flood.
He's talking about Noah, right, who's saved through water. And he says, there is also an antitype which saves us. Okay? So he says, the antitype saves us. That's a true statement, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the type? What is the antitype of the type? The
type is water baptism.
Okay. And so what is the antitype?
Spirit baptism.
Okay, I agree with that.
Amen.
Just kidding. To me, and I don't want to spend all night on this, and I hear what you're saying, Mark, but I would just ask you to go back and think about it, because this is where people that go in the baptismal regeneration, they're going to get their foundation right here. And they're going to, if you raise your hand, they're going to have the waters right there for you. But that isn't what this verse says. He says the antitype saves you.
Yeah.
The other, not the type.
Thief on the cross did not get baptized.
Right. So, to me, what he's referring to here is he says, baptism saves you. But he says, not the type. The antitype, the real baptism, which as far as I'm concerned, is the same as all the other verses that we have read here tonight. A baptism, if we think about it, an immersion into God, a union with God, a transaction of taking me from the old man to the new man, taking me into the death of Christ and into the life of Christ at the same time.
Okay. Say that again.
In other words, taking me, this baptism takes me into the death of Christ and the life of Christ at the same time, because Christ died to sin once for all 2,000 years ago. He also was raised 2,000 years ago. This isn't two things. I don't get dead over here and finally I'm dead enough, now I can get alive. I'm trying to, if that's the case, I'm trying to get dead. No, the only thing that avails for me is the death of Christ. How do I realize that? To be in Him. So if I'm going to die to sin, it isn't by me trying to get dead, it's by being baptized into His death, because He died to sin once for all. It's not like me trying to muster up enough determination that I'm going to turn my life aside. No, I have got to have a miracle more than just trying to forsake my old life. I must be baptized into His death, because He died to sin. I cannot die to sin. I cannot. He died to sin. Yes.
Because it says Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Right. Exactly.
Jesus will.
Jesus will. He will baptize you with
the Holy Ghost. You're not going to baptize yourself.
You cannot. You can't. And you cannot crucify yourself. He was crucified. Okay? You cannot put your flesh to death. You cannot put your, whatever you want to think about it tonight, you and I cannot do it. Otherwise, Christ didn't need to die. All we just needed is a good course in self-will and determination, and we can just, if we try hard enough, we can just take care of this thing, and then Christ didn't need to die.
Oh, amen.
Okay? But we can't do that. He's the only one that could die to sin.
Yes.
He died to sin once for all. And potentially, the whole human race died in Him. But for that to be effectual in you and me, for me to be knowing a death to sin, I must be baptized into Christ for that death to have any power in my life. I must be baptized into Christ. I must get into Christ. Otherwise, His death does not avail for me. He died, but it has no meaning to me. And He rose, but I'm not alive. How can I do it? I've got to get into Christ. And there's only one way. And that is to be baptized by the Spirit into Christ Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay? Now, let's keep going here a little bit longer back in Romans. So, where did we get? He says, likewise you recognize. Now, You can only reckon this if you're there. This is not a mind over matter thing. This is not a Christian Science religion. If I just think about this enough, it'll really be. If I just imagine it, it'll happen. No. If you're really there, then consider it true. Don't entertain anything else. Believe that it's really true. This is where the believing comes in. Okay? Don't go another place. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, if it's true now, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. And that gets into a measure of what you're talking about, Mark. In other words, now we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into his death. We've been baptized into his life. We are now in the new man. Now that you're in the new man, therefore, in this place now, you have power. You have power, the power of God. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are now not under law, but under grace. That's only true if you're in there. But if you're there, this is where now belief and faith comes in. Lord, I now have the power. I can present my members to righteousness. Before you couldn't, you were dead. You were sin, you were alive to sin. You were in the body of sin. Sin reigned. You couldn't do anything about it. You could struggle all you day you wanted to. You can't do anything about your sin. You are bound in sin. You are bound in your own death. And you can't die yourself. You can't die to it. Only Christ died to sin. The only way that you can die to sin is to be in Christ, because he died to sin once for all. You got to get into Christ. You've got to have a miracle transaction with God that lifts you from the old man to the new man. Now you can present your members of God unto righteousness. Now you can reign in Christ. Now you can be, as he says, you will sin shall not have dominion under you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that now to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? It's still true now. If you go ahead and present your members of sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's still true. You can go back. You can just say, that's okay, I don't want to. It's going to be hard, because you're going to have to go against the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to return back to the vomit. You're going to have to go back to the old. Okay? But you can still do it. God did not take your choice away. I cannot find one verse in the Scripture, any place, anywhere, that God ever took your choice away from you. You were created in the image of God with a choice. Okay? Now, present your members unto God. But do you not know that whoever you do, you are the slave? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you were, in the old man, you were slaves of sin. You couldn't do anything about it. Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free, having been set free from sin. How did you do it? When were you set free? When were you set free from sin? Simple answer. When you were baptized into Christ and raised to life. When you died to sin and you were raised with Christ, you were set free from sin. At that moment, you were set free from sin. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The The Holy Spirit now is working in you. And He Himself is your grace. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present yourselves as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is the gospel. A divine transaction that takes us from death to life and makes everything that Christ did ours because we are in Him. All the way through. He died to sin. He rose. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. If we are in Christ Jesus tonight, everything that He is, we are. Because we are in Him. Now, faith has to walk there. We have to know this. But He says, knowing this, you got to know this. If you don't know it, you can't reckon it true, and faith can't walk there. So Paul was beside himself. He says, I'm preaching the gospel. I want you to know what God has done in Christ Jesus. Don't you know? I'm here to tell you. You got to know this. Now, what's the way into it? Jesus said, if any man is hungry, let him come and ask. Right? Let him come to me. He says, I'll do it. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll take you. Okay? This He spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in Him would receive. Right? That's what He said. He said, rivers of living water. This He spoke of the Spirit. As we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into the life of God, into the nature of God, into the character of God. Everything is ours as we are united with Christ in this divine miracle transaction where we're taken from the old man into the new man, from death to life. Now, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've got to walk in that. What must we do? We've got to walk in that. He says, you've got to reckon that to be true. Now, don't try to make it up.
Right. Right.
Make sure that you've been baptized into Christ Jesus. And God will tell you. You don't have to make it up. He's for you. But this is the gospel. Everything else is self-effort. Everything else smacks of what we can do to try to crucify ourselves and crucify the desires of the flesh and put to death the old man and all of that. You can't do it. God does it. And He does it through faith as we believe the word of faith and we receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized into the newness of life. Are you with me?
Yes.
You become so weary if you do not have the Holy Spirit and you're trying to put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Right, and it doesn't
work.
You become
weary. You get tired.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen. You can't reckon it.
No, it's not physically possible.
It's not possible.
It cannot be done.
It cannot be done. Otherwise, Christ died in vain.
Yeah, it simply cannot be done. And I'm telling you, this, what you have spoken tonight, you do not hear.
No.
You do not hear this in most places.
You will not hear this.
You will not hear this. Because it's It's the most liberating thing when you
And it's basically for two reasons. First of all, the ones that are preaching haven't experienced, and secondly, there's just a lack of revelation of the simplicity of the gospel, which is right here before us. And that's why I say this is the heart of the gospel. You can't talk about Romans 8 without Romans 6. And we're going into Romans 7. And we got to see what's in Romans 7. But here is the heart. All that which is leading up to it is the basis of coming up to 6, because we can't talk about what's in 6 without, well, what did Christ do? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was doing it without your and my permission. Nobody asked. Nobody said, you know, you want me to do this or not? He was doing it. He was redeeming the world back to himself. But there's a couple of things here that can trip us up. This question of this old man and new man, and if we get this backwards, it's very, very confusing. And the other thing is, what is this baptism? Okay? Paul said there is one baptism. Is there really one baptism? Ephesians chapter 4 says there is one baptism. I'm looking at this area, and we looked at baptism here a few months back. They all work together. There's only one baptism. And it's not water baptism, and it's not this and that and so on. There's one baptism. Okay? There's one baptism, and everything else fits into that. There is no distinction between water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism. I'm personally convinced that the water baptism is intended to just be a type of the Spirit baptism. Now, it speaks more of repentance, but if it's going to speak, it speaks of death, it speaks of life. So whether they were baptized in water afterwards or whether they were baptized before makes no difference at all, but it's still a symbol, it's still a type. The washing of water, as Peter says, from the flesh, is not going to save you. Okay? The type is not going to save you. Now, I know that you've heard my testimony, or my brief second-hand testimony of those in Russia that believed that baptism was so much so that they were willing to go out and chop a hole in the ice in the middle of winter with the police standing right there and be baptized in a freezing pond and then have the authorities go and take them to a jail while their clothes and everything were turning to ice. That's how much they believed in water baptism. But it was a symbol. In the Muslim lands, they'll put you to death over water baptism. So, it is a symbol, and it is important, but it's still a symbol. And it must speak of the real. To think that something has happened in us that by going into the water and coming back again, it's not. Other than the appeal to God of a good conscience, where, you know, I'm taking an open stand, but everything that water baptism should point is, Lord, that I may be baptized in the Spirit.
It's like communion.
That's right. The union. In other words, same thing with communion. Same thing. You know? It's a symbol. It's all it is a symbol. But it must speak of the reality. And yet God said, eat of the symbol. As often as you eat, and often as you drink, you remember me. Okay? Do it. And if God puts a burden upon you to be baptized and openly testify, I'm turning from the world and I'm here. Brother Gordon used to tell of somebody that he knew that taught the people to expect to receive the Holy Spirit in water baptism. And he said 50% of the people did, because they were taught and expected it. And faith was working.
Right.
Then they went into the water. They were believing as they came up out of that water that they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, this man, half of the people that went into water baptism did. But that's why, because he taught that. And faith was moving and they were expecting that. Okay? So a lot of it has to do with our teaching. A lot of it has to do with our expectation. But it's still only through faith. It's still a transaction with God. It's still a spiritual transaction.
Right. That's why in the book of Acts, people receive the Spirit all at different times.
All at different times.
You see?
That's right.
And so there, because man wants to make a formula,
he wants to make a formula
out of something
out of it. Right.
In the book of Acts. Oh, this is how the Spirit comes.
No formula.
Oh, this is how God heals.
Right.
Well, you have to spit in the mud and like put it on their eyes and
how about the shadow?
Yeah, but then one time he healed somebody, didn't even... He just said, no, he's healed.
Yeah.
So,
right. So I believe that in looking at that passage in Peter, I believe it says it very plainly. There is an antitype which saves us.
Yes.
Not the type. Right. The antitype. And what is the antitype? Well, it's the thing that the type speaks of. And he said, what is it going to come? It's going to come as an appeal to good conscience in the Spirit. How's that going to come? That's going to come through faith. That's going to come as I respond to God. That's the only one way. We're dealing with God. And that's the only way that we're going to be taken from the old man to the new man is to deal with God. We can't get it by reading a book. I mean, I like what Daniel said here. He was talking with some people about the Word of God. And he says, what did Jesus do? Did he throw a Bible into the tomb in Lazarus? You know? No, he spoke. We've got to see that it's the living Word of God.
Alive.
It's the live Word of God. The Word that God is speaking to your heart and my heart. That is the Word that's going to save us. That is the Word that has power. Not this. You know, I can't throw this into the tomb and get Lazarus out of there. I can't.
It's a lot easier, you know, if a preacher is preaching, it's a lot easier for him to give a formula instead of repeating
the
words.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, that's easy.
One, two, three.
We can learn that.
Now you're saved.
We can learn it in every seminary. Mm-hmm. We can learn, write a book about it.
Yes.
That's very easy to do. But to deal with God is a whole different matter, right? And we've got to get the gospel. We've got to see this gospel is dealing with God. It's divine transaction, lifting us from death to life, from the old man to the new man, into the work of Christ, where now I am dead to sin. Because if I have been transformed into this life, I have died to sin in Christ. Now, yes, there is a discipline to deal with, and we're going to deal with that. There is a putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Yes, there is a yielding our members to righteousness. There is a putting on the new man. But I can't do that unless I'm moving from the foundation. Diana.
You'll be relieved to know that I saw something tonight.
Good.
It's very exciting, but it's this whole body of sin thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to try to put it in words,
yes,
even
please,
though it's nothing
please.
New. Because I realize the misconception is based on a very subtle point of teaching. And that is that we hear that God, that Jesus took our sins on himself at the cross. Which is true, but it's not quite true enough. And the image that confused me, which I didn't even know was so deeply embedded, comes from Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
Christian goes around with a big burden on his back. Mm. Whereas the reality is, your sins are so melded with you that you could never separate them. They're part of you. So when Christian comes up to the cross, he toils up the hill, and the burden rolls off, that's wrong. Because when he comes up the hill, he should be now, by faith, by identification, become one with Christ on the cross, and then die.
Right.
That is the real truth.
Yes.
And then no one can get him off the cross. He has to go with Christ into the
right.
grave.
Exactly.
He's still melded one with Christ,
exactly. Right.
And only God can raise him from the dead.
That's right.
And that is a really subtle point. But our sins are not separate from us.
No.
Therefore, we have to become one with Christ. And then we all die.
Right.
And then we all rise.
That's right. That's right.
That's just really amazing.
That's very good. And you know, I appreciate, as you know, as good as some of Pilgrim's Progress is, and John Bunyan writing it there in prison and so on, and there's a lot of good stuff, but still, it falls short of the divine truth that we're talking about here tonight.
It falls short in many places.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't know if it does more good than harm.
Well,
and I'll tell you, I'm not big on this whole, oh, we got to have this certain translation. But there are translations that get that dead wrong.
There is. This is a critical one.
No, I'm telling you, that's a very serious
thing. It's a serious one.
And that would actually make me lean towards a word-for-word translation rather than a thought. This is what I think it
is. This is one of the places that it trips you up. When people saying, man, I got to try to make this more understandable.
Yeah.
No, let the Holy Spirit make it understandable.
I've never heard this gospel. I've never heard that. Mm. Never heard that in my whole life.
and I can't believe it.
Yeah. When you see it, when you see it, you say, wow. But it is very subtle, but it makes a big difference. Because the other leaves you struggling with something that doesn't exist.
You're trying to get out of sin.
Yeah.
And you can't.
You can't. You can't do it.
Well, plus, also, you go on down your path with your burden gone, but you're not one with Christ
yet. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And you should never be able to get out of Christ. You should be so one with Him that you're
right.
never separated.
I'm there.
Amen.
And that's where He says believe.
And that's what frees you.
That's right. That's what frees
you. You don't have to worry about yourself anymore because you died.
You died. You're done. You don't have to struggle any longer. And now we're reigning in newness of life. He says, this is victory. We're not struggling to die to self. And this is why, they're coming back to this. I know people get into this, but many times what they're doing is they're trying to do something which only can happen to this miraculous thing of Christ. And they're struggling and say, well, we just got to die to self every day and so on. And it's nothing more than self-effort. Yeah. It isn't the divine transaction of God. It isn't the believing that we're commanded to do. He says, reckon yourself to be dead to sin in Christ.
9.5 years I fought to crucify the flesh.
And it doesn't work.
And no water is flowing through my life.
It does not work. You can't crucify your own flesh.
I have been crucified
with Christ. And that is the truth. Glory.
Question.
Yes.
Some believer comes to you and says, David, I want what you have. What do I need to do?
I think it's a good question. And I just, in the simplicity, I go back to that verse in John again and again and again. You know, I says, well, what did Jesus say? You know, I know I've worn it out.
No.
But to me, it is so simple, and yet the words here are so searching. Okay? I'll just read it. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Right there. You thirsty? Where do you go? You got to go to Jesus. He's the only one. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What is it? But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But for us, the Holy Spirit has been given. Jesus has been glorified. So to me, if you just wanted just a couple of verses... Man, I see it all right there.
That's one of the scriptures setting free.
I mean, come to Jesus. Is repentance included there? Yeah. Because you've got to turn away from everything else. Repentance is only turning away from everything else to Jesus, right? Uh-huh. And repentance, I mean, yes, is turning away from sin. But it's got to be in faith. In other words, that you can't just try not to sin. You know, it's got to be divine grace from God. And Paul said he preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that was my gospel. Right? So to me, therein lies an answer that you can point to someone.